Welcome back, Take Two, everybody, to Championship Week Video Notebook, day number 11. We just had a little technical difficulty, so we're going to try this again. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. David
Late.
Dorman below me. David Griggs asleep over there. John
It's
Salik at an
very late.
angle.
I'll let him sleep.
It's
It's very
early. It's
late.
2 a.m. It's early. We had the busiest day of Championship Week today, if I'm correct. Is that what we call it, Griggs? The busiest day, at least in terms of
Yes,
conference tournament games?
I believe it. It's the busiest and it's the best. And we're going to get to all of this. It seems like today was better than normal. When you have 10, 11 games going on at once, generally at least two or three of them are good. So you have good games all day long. Today, for multiple spots, it was so hard to keep up with everything because there were so many good games, you couldn't turn any of them over.
I have multiple screens and my head was going like this at one point because we had five games that were like with under 20 seconds left that were all one within one possession. And
I
I think I
mean,
saw some of them. I missed a few. I saw a few games. I was like, okay, I wonder how that one ended, but we
what
figured it
a
out
day.
afterwards.
Yeah, we've had some gems. We certainly have like the week of Thanksgiving and the week prior with all the exempt tournaments, so many games. One of the best days of the season today, by far. What a day.
And we got a lot to get to. A couple news and notes, though. A few coaching, some coaching news is here. Bruce Weber resigned at Kansas State. Technically, he resigned. And Tom Crean, huge surprise. He's
Wow.
out at Georgia. I can't believe it.
At least they waited till the team got back from the SEC tournament, I guess.
I guess beating Alabama made a huge difference in that regard.
Let's get right to the conference tournament games. So we got the screen share coming up here. Hopefully, we're no technical difficulties in this. And hopefully, if it worked, we're going to be starting things off in the ACC. Dorman, let me start with you. Let's start with the top two games there first. Duke got a heck of a challenge from a shorthanded Syracuse team, and Miami got an even bigger challenge from an underdog BC team.
Yes, you almost wish Buddy Buckets was available for Syracuse today because they actually probably might have been able to pull this out. They were in the game the whole way. That 9-point finish differential final score is not indicative. This was tight throughout. Syracuse hit some big threes. They slowed the game down in the first half. Duke looked confused, out of sorts. Syracuse had momentum. The Brooklyn was rocking for the Orange. It was not to be. They couldn't buy a basket down the stretch. Duke took control, and Syracuse fell a little short. And I say I wish Buddy Boeheim was able to play because if he hits a few more threes, he might have been able to get him over the hump, but it was not to be for the Orange. Duke moves on. Miami had all they could handle from BC and then some. It took Miami off a rebound, off a outlet pass in overtime for a layup at the buzzer to beat BC. The Boston College Eagles really impressed me this week. They really did. I know beating Pitt is no big deal, but Wake Forest they beat yesterday in a game the Demon Deacons had to have. Boston College showed up big, and they were great today again against Miami, falling a tiny bit short.
Yeah, real good
Yeah.
showing by the Heights this week. Let's call them by their new name, the Heights. But
Yeah.
the Heights. But yeah, it was Jordan Miller off of the Charlie Moore pass, that layup to win the game today. Sorry, Griggs, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, for 17 weeks, Boston College did not show up, but they did today and this week. So.
Stalika, the late two games here, Virginia Tech kind of led the whole way against Notre Dame, and then North Carolina held Virginia to 13 points in the first half, an ACC tournament record low, and just rolling the Hoos there.
Yeah, the Hoos were getting a taste of their own medicine right here against North Carolina and Virginia Tech. I don't think this win alone is going to put them in. It's certainly going to put them on the doorstep, and beating North Carolina, well, it would give them one more win from the real dance and removing all doubt.
Virginia Tech, North Carolina is a late game. Duke, Miami, the early game. A pair of very interesting semifinals tomorrow. And Griggs, let me pull Virginia Tech up here on this profile because there's a lot of talking heads out there that think this team is very close to being in now. And can you explain it to me, even with this win today?
Why do I think people are talking like they're in? I think they're enamored with the net. I think it's a categorical reason, and I don't think they've told us multiple committee members, and I believe them that alone, there is no threshold that if you're in the 30s, you're in. Nothing else on this resume says that they're a tournament team. They do have a fairly decent win against Miami. That's it. Notre Dame, not particularly good on the road. Maryland, Clemson, not particularly good anywhere. I just don't see it.
Well, Dorman, who do you think wins these two semifinals tomorrow?
Miami has beaten Duke this year, if my memory serves me correctly.
Oh, yeah. In Cameron.
Yeah.
Yep. In Cameron.
In Cameron, on the road. Charlie Moore was sensational that night. So they know they can play with them. Confidence won't be a factor. I think Duke is too much down the stretch. I think the Blue Devils survive. I think Virginia Tech has some momentum going. I'm going to take a shot here. I like the Hokies over the Tar Heels.
Interesting.
I don't. I like the Tar Heels. I think they really showed me something today, and I think they may have been my pick to win this conference tournament to begin with, and I'm sticking with them. I think they're going to not only beat Tech but beat Duke in the finals.
Yeah, if they win this conference tournament, I'm going to start liking their chances of getting in a little bit more.
We don't have a buzzer available tonight. That was one of our technical difficulties, but you are buzzed, Griggs. Stalika, it was a Big East quarterfinal day. We saw Providence get a real tough test from Butler, and then Creighton. Creighton actually showed me a ton in the way they kind of held Marquette at bay the whole way.
Yeah, Creighton is continuing to show that even without Nembhard, they're able to win somewhat consistently right here. I shouldn't say significantly because this wasn't exactly a blowout here. Now that they have a win against Marquette on a neutral floor, a sweep of UConn during the regular season, they're certainly showing they can win with their current roster configuration, and also give Providence credit for surviving against a Butler team that's proven to be pretty game this week, despite a very subpar regular season.
Yeah, Butler had some flashes this season. They definitely had them this week, but Providence does eliminate the Bulldogs and their season. Dorman, the late games, Villanova at St. John's, and the Johnnies were up huge for this in this game for early on, and really could have won this thing.
Last night I picked the Johnnies. I took a little heat on this podcast, and they were there. They had this shot, and then a few questionable calls down the stretch. But St. John's had the Garden rocking on their home floor. Villanova senior guard play, Gillespie came through in the end, got the ball to the right players. Villanova's defense shut him down. St. John's, though, was ready. They had every opportunity. Like you said, they were in the lead, 7-8 points the entire first half. The other quarterfinal, it was UConn all over Seton Hall. 10 points doesn't even show what a blowout this was. Seton Hall just has not looked good this week. They barely survived Georgetown and then looked not prepared and not great. And I love Kevin Willard. He's one of my favorite coaches, but UConn was all over him today.
Griggs, what do you think about these two semifinals tomorrow? Providence versus Creighton, Villanova versus UConn.
Yes, please.
Okay.
that's what I think of these two games. I mean, this is going to be a show. I kind of like Creighton. I think Providence has been flying very close to the flame now. To their credit, they've won just about everybody. They've done everything you can ask them to do, but based on extreme recency bias, which is how good Creighton looked today and how much Providence struggled, I'm going to go with the Jays. And in the other game, Nova, even though they struggled as well.
Oh, I kind of like UConn here. I kind of like UConn to win two more games this week. So
they could. They very well could.
Big 12. Griggs, let me stick with you here. Let's start up top where Kansas – actually, the first game was actually the Texas TCU game. So let's start with that, where TCU was down huge in the first half, came storming back in the second, and completely stole this from Texas. And then Bob Huggins was so upset about that he decided not to leave the West Virginia Kansas game 10 minutes in.
Well, you know, how'd he get so lucky? He didn't have to stay and watch what was really a bad basketball game. He got to relax in the locker room or wherever it is he went. But how about TCU showing their full range today? Awful in the beginning, but making adjustments and coming back. TCU, I mean, we've talked about them all year. We've been focused on them all year. Is this a potential dark horse to get to the second weekend, to the Elite Eight. I definitely think it's possible, because you one thing you can say for them is that they are battle tested and they have won a lot of those battles. Now, having said that, I don't think they win tomorrow, but Kansas's Final Four good. That doesn't mean TCU is not Sweet 16 good, even if they don't win tomorrow.
I kind of agree with you there. Stalika, the late two games began with one of the big upsets of the day. Oklahoma absolutely to have any tournament shot. They needed to pull off the major upset of Baylor, and they did it. And then Texas Tech got thoroughly rolled Iowa State.
Oklahoma is certainly on the doorstep after getting a pretty significant win against Baylor right here. Texas Tech also had a bit of a laugher here against Iowa State. So maybe Huggins was upset that that game wasn't going to be as competitive as he had hoped.
Yeah. But Huggins was angry because they were taking him to the bunker.
Dorman, this Oklahoma team suddenly very much in the bubble conversation. I know they've lost a ton of games, but they're all quality losses. So, where do you have them right now?
I spent a lot of time on this resume today. I'm with Stalika. They're on the doorstep. One more win, and I'm going to have them in right now. I got them just below the cut line. They're about two teams. They're right there. There's a team ahead of them I got, and then they're next. So one more win tomorrow would put them in.
And what a huge win it would be as they play Texas Tech. We will, yeah. As of when we record, as of about a couple hours ago, they had not yet designated whether it was ESPN or ESPN2 between this or the ACC tomorrow. I'll get that updated in the morning if you look there on the conference tournament page. But Greg, you had comments about this game?
I was just like, when you look at some of Oklahoma's losses, I think they lead the nation in road losses to protected seeds or likely protected seeds. You know, losing at Auburn, losing at Kansas, losing at Texas Tech. So their record, while not very far above 500, is explainable. And you know, I'm starting to – there's no buzzer, so I don't feel bad about saying that K-State still has a pretty good resume.
Okay. Stalika, let's stick with the major power conferences. It was also quarterfinal day in the Pac-12 that started with Arizona getting a heck of a battle for Stanford, but there was a little bit more news off of that as one of their best players – Kirk Creasa went down with an injury late and probably not coming back for the Pac-12 tournament. Questionable, I guess, beyond that.
Arizona Stanford always seems to historically be one of the better rivalries in the Pac-12. Stanford certainly had their chances today, carrying a little bit of momentum from the Arizona State win. Just not enough bullets in the gun to take out Arizona right here.
Yeah, and Colorado probably ended or any shot Oregon had. I think Oregon absolutely needed this one to stay in the bubble talk, but they've been so struggling down the stretch here, despite beating UCLA twice and USC once. But
it's going to be tight. The one thing is, it is a 68-team tournament, and when you look at how bad – normally somebody steps up in conference tournaments and distinguishes themselves. That has not happened. Everyone that was on the bubble is – in the same spot or worse than they were before. So
everyone not named Oklahoma.
Well, other than Oklahoma, who is storming.
Dorman, what about the late two games here? Or do you want to talk about I know you are an Arizona alum. Do you want to talk about that Arizona injury also a little bit?
I'm concerned. I'd be stunned if I see him again this weekend. I think he's done for this weekend, but next weekend's in serious question. Hopefully getting the one seed. They shouldn't need him again in the first round, but I would love to have him back for the 8-9 seed winner. I don't know. That looked really bad. He was taken out of the stadium in a wheelchair with his ankle in a really big cast. It didn't look good, and he was in a lot of pain. So we'll see what the reports come out with tomorrow, but I think he's for sure done for the weekend.
Yeah, let me just pull up, before we go to this bottom two games, Griggs, I'm going to pull up the Oregon profile that we just discussed, as well as the Colorado team that beat them, because with Arizona being shorthanded now, Colorado has a chance to pick up their second win over the Wildcats here.
Yeah.
If they get that and then lose to the UCLA-USC winner in the finals, isn't this Colorado team getting some serious discussion in the committee room?
Well, they should be, and they will be now that we have pointed this out, because, you know, We'd like to welcome the committee members. We know you're watching. Yeah, they should be. And when you look at it, you had pointed it out, the one thing about the Oregon profile, the wins at UCLA, USC, and at Colorado are really good. There is a lot of problems, you know, losing at Washington, losing at home to Arizona State and Cal. The profiles are very, very similar. And the one thing that Colorado has that Oregon doesn't is that they're still playing.
And that they beat Oregon twice. And if they throw in two Arizona wins, that's better than two UCLA wins.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
But Salika, real quick, the late games, UCLA held off Washington State. It probably wasn't even that close. USC, it was very close against Washington. They found a way at the very end to escape here.
Real good game by Washington.
Washington certainly had, their own favorable reviews in some cases here. They at least had a couple chances to try to tie the game or even take the lead against the Trojans, but alas for Rocco's boys, it just wasn't meant to be.
Dorman, what do you think about tomorrow's games? Arizona, Colorado, UCLA, USC.
I haven't been that impressed with USC in a few months. I think the resume is a little fakey. I'm not really buying into USC. UCLA is playing good ball, experienced. This is Final Four experience. I see him winning, moving on against their across town rival in the Trojans there. And Colorado is not going to be intimidated. They're not going to be scared. They've beaten this Arizona team in Boulder. Now they need to do it in Las Vegas. I agree with David Griggs. If Colorado really wants to enter the discussion, they have to beat Arizona and at least get to the Pac-12 finals. Then they're really in the discussion and knocking on the door.
All right, Griggs, it was quarterfinal day as well, yes, in the Mountain West, and we had four really good games here. Why don't you start with the top two, with Boise State, got everything they wanted from Nevada, and Wyoming, who had UNLV come storming back of them and almost steal that game.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I was kind of surprised Boise State sweated as much as they did. A lot of credit to Nevada in that game. And I don't know, sometimes when you know you're in the tournament, these quarterfinal games, if it's your first one, you kind of tend to sleepwalk. I think you get it out of your system, because once you're in the semis, you're like, oh, man, we're one game away from the championship. The quarters seem a long way from the semis, even though they're one round. And you see things like this happen. But Boise almost going down. UNLV, again, fell way behind, came back. Wyoming holding on. And on paper, I think this is a really big win for Wyoming. We all had them in, but we all said that they were kind of hovering around the bubble. I know UNLV is not, you know, really being considered for selection, and they're not really a team on the board, but this was still a virtual road win for Wyoming. And I think they've done enough, even if they don't beat Boise tomorrow.
Yeah. With regard to that Boise State Nevada game, Nevada had an open, wide open three at the buzzer that could have won the game. And the Wyoming win came down to a Xavier DeSalle three late that gave them the lead. UNLV missed their shot. And this ended a 19 game losing streak by Wyoming against UNLV in the city of Las Vegas.
That's remarkable.
It's been years since Wyoming won at Vegas. So congrats to them. They move on. Dorman, the late games, Colorado State escaped, I would say, on a Chandler Jacobs layup at the buzzer, and San Diego State found some way to win this game at the very end.
Points were at a premium in the San Diego State Fresno. Fresno controlled the game. The first half, they weren't up big, but they were controlling the game. It was slow paced. Defensive stops were coming left and right. Fresno led by a few at half. San Diego State took control down the stretch. Their defense was absolutely awesome again. If San Diego State's going to make a move next week, it's going to be on their defense. Colorado State got a huge basket down the stretch, beating out Utah State. But the Aggies were game today. Utah State wasn't going down without a fight. Last night on this podcast, I said, I'm looking out for two, three upsets maybe. None of them came through, but every underdog was really, really played well today.
And it looks like we are not going to get a serious bid stealer here in the Mountain West. Wyoming is still a bit of a bubble team, but that really helped today. But Salika, what do you think about these two semifinals tomorrow? Boise State, Wyoming, Colorado State, San Diego State.
certainly wouldn't be expecting anything other than a rock fight for Colorado State and San Diego State right here. Probably going to give a little bit of edge to San Diego State right there. And Wyoming, there's going to be certainly some pressure off their shoulders here going up against Boise State right here. I think it's still going to be Boise State and San Diego State for a final, and the winner, of course, gets an automatic bid to the Con Expo Con AGG convention.
Okay, we really need the buzzer tonight. I'm very upset that it's not working. Let's go to the under-the-radar conferences that were in the quarterfinal round today. Let's start in the Big Sky, which actually was one of the first conferences to get going with a, was it?
9 a.m. local tip.
Was that the day before? That actually was Wednesday.
That was the day before.
It was a long day, but Griggs, we saw Montana State roll over Sacramento State. We saw Weber State pound Montana. We saw Portland State pound Southern Utah.
And that one was shocking.
Well, Southern Utah was without one of their best player in this game, and I said last night, don't like this Southern Utah team without him, and they did not look good. And then we saw Eastern Washington looks like they were cruising over Northern Colorado
it really did.
Until the last 8 minutes or so of that game, finally gave us a game here.
Yeah, it was a real boring, 40, 80, 120, 152 minutes of basketball, but quite the last 8 minutes of the Nokoiwu Cup. You know, Eastern Washington out to a big lead. Northern Colorado comes storming back and is still dancing. I think that I wouldn't say that the bracket has collapsed, but I think the path for Montana State is pretty wide open. I don't think Montana or Weber is going to stay with them.
Yeah, it was the amazing at the end of that game there. Eastern Washington had three open shots to win this game,
and they blew three.
If they blew up after Northern Colorado blew that lead, but Northern Colorado does advance, and Dorman, we've got Northern Colorado, Portland State, Montana State, Weber State tomorrow.
I'm with Griggs. Montana State rolls tomorrow, but after Northern Colorado gets rid of Portland State tomorrow, I think they can give Montana State a game. I think that'll be a terrific championship in the Big Sky. I look for Northern Colorado and Montana State playing for a bid.
Salika, the Big West, it was quarterfinal round day here. Long Beach State pulled away in the second half and ended up taking care of Bakersfield. And then kind of surprisingly, Santa Barbara really took care of Irvine.
Team to win it.
Well, I think people following the Big West will probably tell you Santa Barbara had been playing some of the best basketball, and they certainly showed it against Irvine right here. Bakersfield, they actually got off to a pretty decent start in the first 10 minutes. Actually looked like they might pull the upset against the Beach, but it turned out not to be.
Yeah, I know Santa Barbara's would play well. Irvine was also playing very well down the stretch too, which is why this game surprised me. That it was just wasn't as close as we thought it would be. Fullerton pounded Davis, but we ended Griggs with a very good game between Hawaii and Riverside that was close throughout. And Riverside had a shot at the buzzer to win this that just didn't go.
They had a shot that would have, like you said, they got a shot up right as time expired that would have been a buzzer beating winner, but not to be. Hawaii advances. I kind of like, as far as looking at the games tomorrow, I don't really know. Fullerton and Hawaii could go either way. I'm picking the Gauchos to upset the Beach, though.
I think it's going to be a really good game. I think it's going to be two very good games.
I think they both will be.
Dorman, it was quarterfinal day.
With the curtain.
In Conference USA. But before we go there, I think we need a quick break for a live look in Court B.
Wow. Yeah, that is Court B.
Where's Court B? Oh, it's behind the curtain.
There we go.
Yeah, see, that's Court A.
Look at the band. Look at the band.
Yeah.
They got one band member?
Wow. That is
not many.
What the hell is going on there?
good music. Good music.
No idea.
He traveled one here. Band member to the game.
Dorman, in all seriousness, let's start with
seriousness, there's only one guy in the band.
Buzz. Okay. I really need the buzzer tonight. The bottom two games were the first two that were played. North Texas kind of ran over Rice, but the Louisiana Tech Western Kentucky was a heck of a game.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and we all said that we thought that was coming. We thought two teams that were close in talent played basically tight all year, and that's what happened today. Louisiana Tech had a lead. Western Kentucky came back. La Tech had a few big shots down the stretch, and Western Kentucky couldn't convert on their opportunities. Now they play North
Texas.
Free
throws. They missed. They had a shot to make for two free throws to tie the game, missed them both, and it was rough. Yeah, but go ahead.
North Texas looks like they're not messing around. They are getting out to leads and hitting the gas. North Texas looks focused and really inspired here. See if they can get a bid, and I think they will actually pull this out. But on the tops, it's two really good basketball teams, Middle Tennessee and UAB. This game is tight as can be. This game can go either way.
Well, UAB actually was crushing Florida Atlantic for like tried to make a comeback late, but it wasn't didn't have enough. Middle Tennessee over UTEP, that game went overtime. It was close the whole way. But this is where I think UAB is going to run into that problem with, you know, whether or not they can keep going 2 days in a row, 3 days in a row. This is why I think Middle Tennessee beats them tomorrow. I think UAB is going to be out of gas by the second half of this game tomorrow. Griggs, that's why I'm taking Middle Tennessee and North Texas in the final here.
Sensible picks.
Salika, Metro Atlantic, we had the third and the fourth quarterfinals, and it began with one of the biggest upsets we've seen in terms of seeding. 11-seed Quinnipiac keeps things going, beats Siena, moves on to play St. Peter's in the second semifinal tomorrow night.
So depending on whether you're St. Peter's or whether you're a Monmouth fan, I mean, the Red Sea could not be parted any wider than what they're getting right now here, thanks to Quinnipiac pulling off a pair of wins right here. The Siena win, even more shocking than what they did against Marist the other day.
Yeah, and Monmouth, Griggs, did beat Niagara. That there was a missed three at the buzzer there by Niagara that could have tied the game, but Monmouth does move on. And according to the seeding, at least, we should have two blowouts tomorrow, Monmouth and St. Peter's.
Yeah, we should. But, you know, I'm going to go with that. Two blowouts. Yeah,
I would say that Quinnipiac, even though they're the 11 seed, I think they actually won seven conference games this year. There was very – it's not like they were 0-20 in conference. I think they were 7-13. It just ended up being the 11 seed because everybody below Iona was so bunched up in this conference. But there are your semifinals over in the Mid-America.
ESPN News with those games tomorrow.
Yes, ESPN News, or you can stream it on ESPN Plus if you want.
Yeah.
Dorman, over in the Mid-American, it was quarterfinal round day, and we had some pretty good games here, actually, even though all four top seeds advanced.
All four teams, held form, and that is going to bring two fantastic semis tomorrow. I really wanted to see this, especially the Kent State Ohio. Ohio was in charge of this conference early on, and they were under our radar. They were in my top 10, at least a good chunk of the year. Kent State comes flashing on the scene late in the year and got really hot. I can't wait to watch this game tomorrow night.
Yeah, Toledo, Mike. God, did they get lucky. I mean, just pissing down their legs all this game, but held on to beat mighty Central Michigan.
They looked really bad. Akron blew a big lead late against Buffalo. Buffalo had a shot at the buzzer to win that one. That didn't go in. Salika, what do you think, though, about this Toledo-Akron game and the Ohio-Kent State? Kent State now 13 wins in a row heading into this game.
Kent State is certainly going to be the hottest team coming in right here. But if you're an OU fan, especially if you're Jason Carter, the one-time Bobcat turned Musketeer turned Bobcat again, he had 20 points and 18 rebounds against Ball State right here. And unlike his Musketeers, he'll actually have a chance for at least a chance at a conference title right here. But I think it's probably going to be Akron, Kent State, Wagon Wheel Part 3.
Ooh, nice call. Yeah. Nice little rivalry there.
So anyway, it's an all-Ohio semifinal, and it's going to be great. Part of a really exciting quadruple header, maybe more. I don't, are there games before that on CBS Sports Network?
That'll be a sextuple header on CBS Sports Network.
All right, yeah.
You'll be seeing the Conference USA early, followed by the Mid-American, followed by the Mountain West if you just watch nothing but CBS Sports.
If you're following Chad on Twitter, please, no spoilers.
Yes, yeah.
Griggs, it was also the last two quarterfinals in the MEAC today. North Carolina Central kind of pulled away late to make it a fairly comfortable win over Eastern Shore, but the Morgan State South Carolina State was close all the way.
Yeah. And again, Morgan State holding on to get that win. Kind of chalky here, but Howard going down. That's the one that kind of surprised me. I thought Howard might actually have a shot at winning. I picked Norfolk, but I thought Howard had been looking pretty good. I just think that this opens the door even wider for Norfolk. And finally, the MEAC gets their best team to the NCAA tournament, something they seem to do very infrequently.
I don't think they're doing it this year. I think New Morgan State's going to upset Norfolk tomorrow. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Morgan State and Coppin State in the final here. Coppin State really impressed me with what they did against Howard the other night. Had the day off to rest. The fighting Juan Dixon's there. I could see it happening. Let's see. Let's keep going here, though. Dorman, Southland Conference. We had Corpus Christi and New Orleans. Corpus Christi kind of rolled. New Orleans was down big, actually, and came back to beat McNeese, though.
Yeah, looked like they were dead in the water, and they came flying back in the second half. Great effort. And they do move on to play now Southeastern Louisiana, who we have yet to see because the top two seeds in this conference are bye through the semifinals. So Nicholls State and Southeast Louisiana will start their tournament in the Southland tournament tomorrow night in the semis. Sometimes I think it's a disadvantage. I don't mind having a team that's been on the court, gotten their feel for the buildings, usually a different type of setting. And I think I did pick Nicholls in this tournament. We'll see how that looks tomorrow. But I think both underdogs are live.
I agree with you. It was also with the third and the fourth quarterfinals in the SWAC. And let's start with the bottom game there, which is actually the first one played, the Southern Grambling game. Sean Woods, the head coach at Southern, did an absolutely amazing thing here. Southern was down 2 points with about 10, 15 seconds left in the game. They just got a rebound, and one of the players for Grambling had fallen down, and he was down on the court. It was a 5-on-4 advantage coming down the court. You know, in hockey, that's a power play. What does Sean Woods do? He calls timeout to set up a play.
The play they set up, though, was garbage. Let's be fair, it didn't work.
He calls timeout when you have a 5-on-4 advantage and you're going to be able to get an open shot in order to set up a bad play. Grambling won, and I'm glad they won because Southern deserved it for the way Sean Woods coached that game. Alabama A&M also beat Florida A&M in the other game. It was pretty close throughout. But, Sleeka, what do you think about these semifinals tomorrow night? Tomorrow night.
It still historically is going to feel like Texas Southern is going to be the top overall seed, despite Alcorn State actually getting the number one this year right here. Alabama A&M, I know they always haven't had chances to get to the championship game because of APR issues in the past. This is not one of those years, and I think A&M and Texas Southern are going to end up moving on to the title game.
You're not going with Alcorn State, okay.
Yeah, hell of a quarterfinal game. All games settled by 5 points or less. There, in case you're stipulating or speculating on Twitter, no, that is not a record. There was one conference tournament that was amazing. Every game settled by 2 points or less.
Yeah, the 2011 Great West Tournament. Every game
the best was, conference well, tournament.
One of the game went to won 3 points, but championship game went overtime. Every other game was 2 points or 1 point finish. This has been great.
Yeah.
This has been great, but that 5-point margin in the Alabama A&M Florida A&M game ruined it, I think. Dorman, the WAC, we had a pair of, I guess it would be quarterfinal round games where Abilene Christian surprisingly just kind of rolled Stephen F. Austin in the late game, but Grand Canyon Sam Houston was a good game all the way through.
Yes, it was nip and tuck the whole way. Grand Canyon pulls it out in the end. And now New Mexico State, just like the last bracket we saw, they get their byes through the semifinals. So New Mexico State will take the court against Grand Canyon, and Seattle will take on Abilene Christian. I actually was looking for Abilene Christian to come through with a mild upset, and they did. Seattle has actually impressed me at most of the year. I didn't look, didn't think they were going to be that good this year, and I was dead wrong. Seattle's really looked like a solid squad this year. It'll be interesting to see. I know Griggs has been high in New Mexico State, and they usually dominate this tournament. So let's see if they can turn it on tomorrow night.
That's a big that's been a big rivalry the last few years here, this New Mexico State Grand Canyon
series. And this might be the last one we get for a while. I don't think they're going to keep playing with New Mexico State going off to CUSA. Game starts at 9 o'clock. The selection committee, I believe, will be stopping all proceedings at 9 o'clock to watch this game.
Let's jump back on the radar, I guess. A couple conferences that were not yet in the quarterfinal, they guess we're in the second round stage here. Beginning with the Big Ten, Stalica. Let's start up top here.
No, Chad, you got to take this one because you had the tweet of the decade today.
Okay, I'll take this one. The top two games. First of all, Iowa absolutely pounded Northwestern. They're going to get Rutgers tomorrow. That was actually a Big Ten record for most points scored in the Big Ten tournament game, the 112 points by Iowa. Michigan was absolutely pounding Indiana until about 12 minutes left in the game when Indiana decided, no, we're going to win this game. And they did. Yeah. I had a big theory here. You know, this was Juwan Howard's first game back after the suspension. I figured heading into the game, he probably pulled Phil Martelli aside and said, Phil, why don't you coach the game? You did great the last five games without me. Michigan builds a big lead. About 12 minutes left in the game.
Juwan goes double-digit lead. Double-digit lead.
Juwan kind of goes ahead and says, and it was a 17-point lead, actually. Not just Juwan pulls Phil Martelli aside and says, Phil, we're up 12.
17.
We're up 17, 12 minutes left. Let me take it from here.
He sure did.
Indiana.
That is the best hypothesis I've ever heard.
Indiana absolutely keeps their tournament hopes alive. Michigan, most people still think they're in no matter what. Now we've got Illinois, Indiana, Rutgers, Iowa tomorrow in the early top games. Sleek, I was going to you. Why don't you talk about the bottom games then? Michigan State over Maryland and the huge upset in the Big Ten with Penn State knocking off Ohio State.
Michigan State and Maryland felt kind of like a continuation of the regular season finale for both teams. Maryland certainly had their shots, even though it looked like they were going to get blown out of the water. They did make a bit of a comeback, but too little, too late against Sparty and Ohio State, for that matter. Starting to wonder if injuries are starting to come up for the Buckeyes at the wrong time and fell victim to the upset bug against the Penn State team that, after getting humiliated against Nebraska about a week ago, they've probably played some of their best basketball, even in a loss at Rutgers, but at least got the wins against Minnesota and now Ohio State.
Dorman, what do you think about these four games tomorrow, especially Indiana? Rutgers definitely could use another win to solidify tournament chances, and Penn State still alive down there.
Big Ten always has, you know, this upstart dark horse come from nowhere. This year it's Penn State. I think it ends tomorrow. I think Purdue finds their way, and with that home crowd in Indianapolis back behind them, knocks Penn State out. But Penn State has actually looked good this week and done a nice job moving up. A lot of people I'm hearing, Rutgers needs to win. Rutgers, I'm not one of them. I know I'm alone on this. I think Rutgers in. Rutgers is in. They got solid wins up and down. I think Iowa's red hot, maybe as hot as any team in the country coming into the game. I do not believe Rutgers needs to win the game. Illinois, Indiana, a big one. Indiana probably does need this one. They are really tight. They are right on the cut line. They could use it. Obviously, huge win. If they don't, I still think they have a good chance to get in, but they would feel a lot better if they're in the semis on Saturday.
What about the Wisconsin-Michigan State game? Any thoughts on that one?
I'm interested to see. Davis is claiming he's healthy, so we're going to get to see if he is. If he is, I think Wisco, there's just Sparty doesn't look like Sparty. That tough, rebounding defensive mentality just doesn't seem to be there. If Wisconsin's healthy, I think the Badgers move on.
Griggs, it was also second-round day in the SEC. Let's spend a few moments here first on that very first game we saw, which was Texas A&M Florida. Everyone was talking going into this game that this was probably an elimination game. The loser probably no shot. The winner does have a shot. Texas A&M does get the overtime win. Hassan Diarra with a game-winning three for them at the end of overtime there. Moves on to play Auburn. What do you think about this game and A&M's tournament chances now?
I think their tournament chances are very much alive. I think when you put them side by side with Florida, they're better than the Gators.
Let's not even talk about Florida now. Let's put them side by side with somebody like Indiana. Okay. We're talking about as a bubble team, because Florida, if they're off the picture now with them, that's not the team you have to be better than.
Yeah. Alabama, certainly not a protected seed, but still a very nice road win. Neutral over Notre Dame, another bubblish team. Maybe we'll get to the ACC here in a second. Or no, we've already talked about that.
We're not going back there again.
Very late. It is very late. And then they have the two wins against Florida, including the one today, a semi-decent road win at Ole Miss, emphasis on semi-decent. When you come over and look at what smells bad, Missouri at home really does, but nothing else really does. I mean, at Tennessee, at Auburn, at LSU, at Arkansas, neutral versus Wisconsin, these are not the kinds of losses that you would ding someone that's in on the first ballot for. So I don't think you really ding a bubble team either. I think that is better than what Indiana's done in a lot of ways. Like Indiana 2-8 on the road, Texas A&M with five road wins and three more neutral wins. I think A&M's better than Indiana right now on paper.
I can't recall a time that a bubble team has ever had an 8-game losing streak and still managed to sneak into the tournament. Texas A&M could certainly put that theory to the test right here, especially with a win against Auburn.
If they beat Auburn, how do you not select them?
Well, that's a different story. They've got this Auburn game tomorrow. That completely changes the profile if you don't think they're in right now. There are other games today. LSU kind of rolled over Missouri. They're going to play Arkansas tomorrow. Mississippi State, if you thought South Carolina might have a shot at getting on the bubble, that was destroyed by Mississippi State today, who took care of them. They get Tennessee tomorrow. But then, Dorman, we got to the last game of the day. And here comes Jerry Stackhouse's Vanderbilt team, Scottie Pippen Jr., taking down Alabama.
You stole my whole line. And Stackhouse were great. Alabama was in the lead in the first half. Look, thought they were confident. They were in control. They thought that Alabama was, that was good Alabama today. And Vandy said, not so quickly. Vandy played awesome in the second half. Team basketball, they really were great. I thought Stackhouse did a fantastic job. And I hope they can give Kentucky a good game, because that would be really exciting tomorrow night.
Griggs, what do you think about these four games tomorrow? We talked a little bit about the Auburn A&M, but Arkansas LSU could be a really good one. And I don't know about Mississippi State, Tennessee, but Arkansas
kind of a litmus test. It's another resume. Well, it's the battle of the boot for one in basketball. So there's that little bit of heat to it. And I think it's a resume building opportunity. I think Arkansas is probably ahead of LSU right now, but LSU with a chance to build on it. Tennessee and Mississippi State, I don't really think much at all about it, although Mississippi State did look really impressive today. I think Tennessee and Kentucky walk into the semifinals.
Okay, let's go on here. It was second-round day in the Atlantic 10.
Fordham
knocks off George Mason. At this. They have made their quarterfinals in a conference tournament for the first time in 15 years. Now, most conferences, you started the quarterfinals. They had not made the quarterfinals for 15 years. Congrats for Fordham. They knock off George Mason. They advance. They'll play Davidson tomorrow. St. Louis kind of rolled LaSalle. UMass really took care of GW. Richmond was down big against Rhode Island. Came storming back.
And win. How about these Yeah, these games tomorrow. Yeah, I'm anxious to hear this. Let's get this.
Stalika, what do you think about
the USA Cartoon Express? There's
our buzzer. Stalika, games tomorrow.
Cartoon Express.
Because we all know it's the game show network. But hard to believe, I've been in person to Fordham's only semifinal game in the A-10 tournament. That was against Xavier way back in 2006. I think it's going to be asking a lot for the Rams to get past Davidson here, although stranger things have happened in the Atlantic 10 tournament. I don't think the Billikens are going to have enough to beat the Bonnies right here, nor do I think UMass to get by Dayton here. Richmond, they could pull the upset against VCU. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, that's a huge rivalry. But real quick, Grace, because we've got to get to the last conference. And get going.
Yeah, I know. The tournament that Stalika is referring to, I believe he and I were there at the same time, and it was delayed. He mentioned strange things happening because a bird flew into a ceiling fan.
Yes.
Okay. let's go over to the American.
Well, it was setting an illegal screen against the John Chaney's Temple.
We already switched conferences, Stalika. Dorman, American. It was first round day. Last conference we got to get to today. Cincinnati beat East Carolina game. It was pretty close until the end. Tulsa was up big and held off a late run by Wichita State to win. And we actually had a pretty good game between Central Florida and South Florida as well. Your thoughts on either anything that happened today or any of these four games tomorrow?
Yeah, it wasn't great action until the Central Florida-South Florida game down the stretch. Got a little exciting there. Central Florida pulled it out.
South Florida had two threes at the buzzer.
To make it,
but that would have won it. They missed. Go ahead, though.
Yep. Memphis, some believe they're on the bubble. Some believe they're kind of safe. I believe they're on the bubble. They really can't afford bad losses. Central Florida would qualify as a bad loss. I look for SMU to beat Tulsa, setting up an awesome showdown in the semis with Memphis and SMU. Houston, Cincinnati looks not great to me. They were playing better. Wes Miller had them playing decent in the middle, early season. Haven't looked the same since. Temple, Tulane, toss up. I like the way Tulane's been playing as of late. And like David said, the program's really on an upswing. Hopefully we'll get a good game there and maybe Tulane will pull it up.
Yeah, it'd be nice if we get the SMU Memphis semifinal.
That would be good.
It could be a good game, but we'll see if we get an upset before then. But let's move over to our survival board here. This is a tool we make for the NCAA tournament selection committee.
Yes.
Griggs, what we do here is we color code teams, all the teams that are out there are different colors here. If you are blue and all caps and bold like Jacksonville State, that means you've clinched an automatic bid.
Yes.
So if a committee member is wondering, should we take Jacksonville State? This board tells them.
They have to. It's automatic. Well,
We also have teams of regular print that are blue like Providence. If they're thinking, should we take Providence? This tells them.
They pretty much have to. Okay, like it's not automatic, but it's automatic.
No, they're in. They're blue.
Yeah, they're blue. They're in. Okay. So
So if you're thinking about a team like, say, Fordham, they're in black type, regular type.
Yeah, that means a team that you only take if they win the automatic bid. But you notice they're not crossed out yet. They're not crossed out, so they're still playing. Yeah. So you still have to pay attention to them in case they are selected.
Right.
So if you're a fan of Bellarmine and have forgotten that they're a transitional team, what do we do since they're crossed out?
They're crossed out. They're crossed out.
You know, think about it. Now, if they're a team that's in green, like let's say Oklahoma or Xavier, that's a team that they should be debating, correct?
Yeah, that's a team that they need to discuss. And like, we can't do everything for them. We have an obligation to the committee. We have an obligation to the public. We take that obligation very, very seriously. Some people are questioning that. The committee, they're like, this is just something you guys do. The committee doesn't look at it. And I finally got fed up and I sent an email to the NCAA selection committee. You can say there, hello, selection committee members. Yeah, our viewers and listeners are starting to doubt us when we say that the Hoops HD Survival Board is utilized by the selection committee. It is a tremendous resource. It tells the committee what they need to be doing. And the reason we do it is because we know the committee is looking at it. We've asked the selection committee if the selection committee room where they meet had internet in it, and you said that it did. that means they can access the survival board, does it not? I mean, that's just common sense. I felt silly even sending this. We need you to verify for our audience just how important the survivor board is, and then a nice little salutation. And then they write back, you know, dear Mr. Griggs, this is, if I have counted correctly, the 113th email you've sent us, and all of them have been making some totally nonsensical point or asking some totally nonsensical question. Now, the one thing I want to stress here is that we are in constant communication and contact with the committee. You know, of course, the committee room has internet access. I mean, you know, again, now they're kind of starting to get annoyed that we would ask such a basic question. It's a hotel. All hotels have internet access. I can't believe I'm needing to explain that the room has internet access. But your survival board has nothing to do. And then it got cut off. I don't know happened, but I can only assume that he was going to say that the survival board, and this is an important part to verify, this board, Chad, is for the NCAA tournament, not the NIT, not the CBI. And I think that that's what he was going to say.
Right. Okay. Griggs, this was our board. And thankfully, it really looks like as we scroll down here that our board has not been hacked this week, tonight. We've had Carver Bible hacking the board all week. Looks like it didn't happen. So
that's good.
Maybe they lost internet.
Maybe they did. Yeah. Heading into the day, though, we had 172 teams remaining. Right now, we should have that drum roll. We don't. But as a result of today's games, we're going all the way down to 124.
It's a 48-day elimination.
Actually, I'm going to throw a little note here. It's actually 123 because of the right before we started, that last game ended, Washington got eliminated. So 123 teams remain. It'll be come the morning when we get the final updates in. Big jump here. And another big jump tomorrow. On that note, though, what else do we have left? Our rivalry creator.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Let's go over here to our rivalry creator. This is our rivalry creator. We've had a few. This is a tool we're doing for people to help their teams create rivals and create name trophies. And
sweeping the nation.
It is. This is a request that we had. Coming up on Saturday is going to be Vermont and UMBC in the America East Championship game.
Yeah, that's is that a rivalry? Well, I guess we're going to see here.
I think I heard a little bit about what this is. The rivalry name is
the
what?
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 The Carver Bible Cup.
That's going to be a mistake. Let's try another one. That must be a mistake. I've got one here. This is two teams that are the furthest apart geographically in the entire country. It's Maine and Hawaii.
Yeah, Maine and Hawaii. Like, it's not a short plane ride. Yeah. They're not exactly. I'd be shocked if these two teams were 8 miles apart, but they haven't met in the NCAA. What's going on? Carver Bible.
Let me just go with a normal rivalry here. Let's just go Kansas and Missouri to make sure this thing's even working. Okay.
Okay.
Invalid rivalry.
Carver Bible. Well, they got off of their survival board.
I guess that's the rivalry.
One last thing here, actually. Our mock committee started today.
Yes, it did. And look at we've got results. We've got the board. There it is.
We have a Centenary Award winner in Delaware State, worst team in D1. We have a Stallings Award winner in Oregon State, worst power conference team. My motion for Carver Bible to be the Centenary winner failed.
Getting hacked, Chad.
Yes.
Stalik, you want to talk, you did a post about it. You want to talk about what else happened here?
So basically what happened is, in addition to the Centenary and the Stallings Award, we started debating about some of the next wave of at-large teams that we should be voting in. And the next group of teams we selected were Davidson, Memphis, Miami, Michigan, Creighton, and there were three other, San Diego State, San Francisco, and one other team that we had just recently added. And Creighton, San Diego State, and San Francisco were among the newest teams that we had added to our at-large board right here. And North Carolina was the other team that we also added in as well.
Right. So tomorrow we were probably going to be adding a few more teams in. There's only one more spot in the at-large bids normally left. We do have We know that the Big East, all four remaining Big East teams are already in, so we definitely have one more spot open. We could have a few more open as more games get played. And we'll start seeding as well tomorrow night. And we'll update you more tomorrow night about where we are. But this is where we are. We've got 35 teams in the field as at-larges, plus a bunch of automatic bids, a bunch of other teams under consideration. Final thoughts, Dorman?
Yes. I got a six-pack of teams here that desperately need a win. Their fans would feel a lot better tomorrow night if these teams could pull off victories. Virginia Tech, Davidson, Texas A&M, Oklahoma, Indiana, and Rutgers. I know I said Rutgers is in. I still believe that, but their fan base would feel a lot better tomorrow night if they get a victory over Iowa. That would solidify the deal.
Slika.
We're hoping that when we get to the 2022-23 season, we'll also be able to add an MVP award for the rivalry tracker. For example, if you get Dayton and St. Louis in the Arch Baron Cup, the MVP gets the Harewood Horse Trophy.
Oh, geez. Briggs, you want to finish the show off for the night, mercifully, please?
Yes, mercifully. It was just an awesome day. Tomorrow's going to be fun, too. We look forward to this all year, and that's it. Good night.
That is it. Good night. On behalf of David Dorman, David Griggs, John Slika, I'm Chad Sherwood. We'll be back again at some crazy hour again tomorrow night.
Yeah, it'll be later tomorrow. We got a midnight tip.
Oh, geez.
We're also losing an hour thanks to daylight savings.
Yeah. That's the following day, actually. Yeah, but that's coming Saturday night into Sunday. But talk to y'all again real soon.